This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in for the first time, what I do on Film Bookcast, I discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. This week in TV news, fans of Squid Game will be excited as the creator teases a third season even before we get a second season. The massive popularity of Netflix's South Korean survival horror series can only mean one or two things. A second and even third season are more than likely. Creator Hwang Dong-hoon recently said in an interview shared by the Korea Times that I'm in talks with Netflix over season 2 as well as season 3, but we'll come to a conclusion anytime soon. Representatives at Netflix could not immediately be reached for comment. Squid Game premiered on the streaming platform September 17th, quickly reaching the number one spot in Netflix's viewing charts across 90 countries. Within its first 2 weeks, it ultimately became Netflix's most watched original series ever, with 1.65 billion hours streamed in total in its first 4 weeks. Very exciting news for fans of Squid Game. Another piece of TV news that stuck out to me this week, the second season of HBO's 2021 sleeper hit limited series Mare of Easttown has yet to be confirmed by the network, but star Kate Winslet already has an idea for a possible follow-up of the show. She plays a rough-around-the-edges Philly cop in the crime series, and she told The Guardian recently that, "I don't know if I'm going to be playing Mare again, but if we were to do a second season, then for sure these atrocities which have existed in place in the police force here and in America will find their way into the stories we tell. 100%. You can't pretend these things didn't happen." Exciting news for fans of Mare of Easttown, even though a season 2 has yet to be confirmed, but I don't know about you, but season 1 of Mare of Easttown was definitely a sleeper hit for HBO, a very well done series. The last bit of TV news we'll talk about this week, I'm going to try to talk about it while incorporating another piece of TV news from this week, so we'll talk about two pieces in one. Peter Dinklage recently defended the Game of Thrones finale, saying that it's fiction, there's dragons in it, move on. George R.R. Martin recently said that after a screening of the newest HBO spinoff, House of Dragons, that it's really well done and he can't wait for the series to come to us. Coming back to the original story, Peter Dinklage recently said in a New York Times interview, quote, "They wanted the pretty white people to ride off into the sunset. By the way, it's fiction. There's dragons in it. Move on. No, but the show subverts what you think, and that's what I love about it. It was called Game of Thrones, but at the end, the whole dialogue when people would approach me on the street was, who's going to be on the throne? I don't know why that was their takeaway, because the show was really about more than that." And I'm going to use this piece of news to talk about technology in general, where we talk about art every week on this podcast, and the movies that I review, I try to not be so subjective in my criticisms, because I don't feel like the listener would gain much from listening to my own personal opinions. And I think that we as a culture have to start talking about what technology has done to our viewing, our TV viewing, because reality TV mixed with the power of technology has kind of turned every one of us into subjective beings, where we're watching art where we're supposed to be objective, but we're actually viewing it subjectively. And my own opinion of this is that it's because of the power of the handheld machines that we use that overpower our own emotional intelligence and really place us in a subjective emotional state of being. It's really a being of reactivity. And I think that that's what Dinklage is getting at with why were we watching the show worrying about who was going to be on the throne, because the show was called Game of Thrones and it was really about all these relationships and power and control and love and lust and all these themes that we miss when we're perceiving everything subjectively. Because when we perceive everything subjectively, all we do is feel. We don't think. And the purpose of art is to objectively experience the story. And I'm afraid that we're losing that ability with the more that we live our lives in our cell phones. And I'm excited because House of Dragons seems like it's going to be a really important show, and I can't wait for it to debut. And for George's review of it to be as good tells us that it's going to be really well done. I'm afraid, though, that no matter how good it is, we're always going to have a crowd in this country being, you know, one way or the other, that's going to, you know, overreact or underreact, you know, because this is the scarring that these machines have placed into our brains. And I just think as a culture, the more we can talk about this stuff, the better we're all going to be, and the more we're going to enjoy the art that we make. Because I love talking about art objectively, and I don't like us slipping into so much subjectivity, because art exists above all that. And I just think we have to keep that in mind, and that's what Peter Dinklage is really getting at with his quotes this week. Here's to House of Dragons. That's it for TV news. Now let's check out some film news from this week. SP Releasing has acquired the worldwide rights to the psychological thriller Nightshade. It stars Lou Ferrigno Jr., Dina Meyer, and Jason Petrick. Nightshade will be released in theaters across North America and at home January 4th. Directed by Landon Williams, Watches as a homicide detective played by Ferrigno Jr. on the hunt for a serial killer experiences a series of disturbing dreams. It leads him to seek hypnotherapy in the aid of a psychiatrist. The treatment reveals an undeniable parallels between his nightmares and the murders, setting him into a tailspin of paranoia and distrust. Nightshade will be released in theaters and on video on demand platforms January 4th. Some more film news is Spider-Man No Way Home has bested Rogue One and Dark Knight as it amasses $536 million plus at the domestic box office. This number makes it the number 12 highest grossing movie of all time in the United States and Canada. It passed Disney's 2016 Christmas hit Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Warner Brothers' top grossing film The Dark Knight. An incredible showing for Spidey. The last bit of film news we'll talk about this week is another film that whose rights were acquired by RLJE Films. And the film is titled Last Looks. It's an action comedy starring Charlie Hunnam and Mel Gibson. It's directed by Tim Kirkby. It was originally titled Waldo, and it's going to come out in February in theaters and on demand. Last Looks is about Charlie Waldo, an ex-LAPD superstar who left the force and now lives a life of simplicity and solitude deep in the woods. Alistair Pinch, played by Mel Gibson, is an eccentric actor who spends his days drunk on the set of his TV show. When Pinch's wife is found dead, he is the prime suspect, and Waldo is convinced to come out of retirement to investigate what happened. The case finds Waldo contending with gangsters, Hollywood executives, and preschool teachers, all in pursuit of clearing Pinch's name or confirming his guilt. The film from Romulus Entertainment was produced by Brad Feinstein, Andrew Lazar, Steven Scheinberg, and Christina Weiss. Look for Last Looks to be released in February in theaters and on video on demand. That's it for film news. This week in home releases sees a slew of really solid movies, starting with The French Dispatch. The French Dispatch brings to life a collection of stories from the final issue of an American magazine published in a fictional 20th century French city. With an ensemble cast and Wes Anderson directing, it got a 7.4 in a user Metascore. The French Dispatch is now available on DVD and at home. May Day is also available on DVD. Anna, played by Grace Van Patten, is transported to a dreamlike and dangerous land where she joins an army of girls engaged in a never-ending war along a rugged coast. Though she finds strength in this exhilarating world, she comes to realize that she's not the killer they want her to be. Mayday is now available on DVD and at home. Red Snow is also available on DVD. A struggling vampire romance novelist must defend herself against real-life vampires during Christmas in Lake Tahoe. Red Snow is now available on DVD. Knocking is now available on DVD. After suffering a traumatic incident, Molly moves into a new apartment to begin her path to recovery, but it's not long after her arrival that a series of persistent knocks and screams begin to wake her at night. Molly's new life begins to unravel as the screams intensify and no one else in her building believes or is willing to help her. Knocking is now available on DVD, and it got a 65 Metascore. That's it for DVD new releases from this week. This week in TV trailers, the official Twitter account for the BBC America drama series Killing Eve posted a 30-second teaser trailer for the fourth and final season this week. They offered a preview of what's to come ahead of the season's February 27th premiere. Actions have consequences, and Sandra and Jody appear together, at times riding an electric scooter. Carolyn also makes an appearance, spitting at someone or something off camera and narrating the clip. Do you ever think what might have happened if we didn't do what we did? People like us aren't made for happy lives or happy endings. The narration teases the impossibility of a happy ending for the lead characters. Pilastri is shown in an empty theater, and there's even a kiss. There's new characters you can see in briefly in clips. The new season will see Pilastri's obsession with Vinali come to a head. Look for Killing Eve to debut February 27th of next year. Some more TV trailers. A lot has happened since Netflix first introduced the world of Navarro College's cheerleading squad in Cheer. The docuseries won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Structured Reality Program, as well as legions of fans taken with the grit, determination, and optimism of the student-athletes. Then there was the COVID-19 pandemic, which brought filming on a second season to a halt in 2020. There was also the federal sexual misconduct allegations brought against season one breakout star Jeremy Harris. Now we finally got a trailer for the long-delayed second season, and it seems that the series will address the fallout of those allegations head-on. Netflix announced December 28th that Cheer Season 2 will premiere all 9 episodes on January 12th. Navarro, Lexi, Gabby, Ladarius, and Morgan will all return. In a statement, director and executive producer Greg Whitley said the season covers events as they unfolded, beginning in January 2020 through April 2021. The new episodes will tackle extremely difficult moments, including the impact of COVID-19 and criminal charges against one of Navarro's former team members. It was inspiring, heartbreaking, and sometimes frustrating, but ultimately moving to be part of their lives. Check out the trailer for season 2 of Cheer. All 9 episodes will debut on the platform January 12th. Stars of the show Bridgerton surprised us this week with a video announcing that the second season will debut March 25th of 2022. Check out the date announcement trailer now. That's it for TV trailers. This week in movie trailers, did you see the newest Batman trailer? Holy wow. I can't wait for this film. I love how we finally get a glimpse of Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman, and the scene that they show in the trailer about showing Bruce talking about how she has a lot of cats is really cool. Check out the newest trailer for The Batman. I can't wait to see this film. I'm sure everyone can't wait to see this film. Another trailer that really brought chills to me this week was The Lost Daughter. It's very anticipated. It's Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. It stars Olivia Colman, and there's incredible buzz about the power of this film. It's now streaming on Netflix. The Lost Daughter is about alone on a seaside vacation. Lita becomes consumed with a young mother and a daughter as she watches them on the beach. Unnerved by their compelling relationship, Lita is overwhelmed by her own memories of the terror, confusion, and intensity of her early motherhood. An impulsive act shocks Lita into the strange and ominous world of her own mind, where she is forced to face the unconventional choices she's made as a young mother and their consequences. Check out the trailer for The Lost Daughter. It's now debuting in Netflix and in select theaters. The last film trailer we'll talk about this week is a creepy, vintage-looking horror movie. The film title is You Won't Be Alone. Set in an isolated mountain village in the 19th century Macedonia, it follows a young woman who was kidnapped and then transformed into a witch by an ancient spirit. Curious about life as a human, the young witch accidentally kills a peasant in the nearby village and then takes her victim's shape to live life in her skin. Her curiosity ignited, she continues to wield this horrific power in order to understand what it means to be a human. Check out the trailer for You Won't Be Alone. It is super creepy. It's coming to us on April 1st in theaters next year. That's it for movie trailers. All right, time for this week's movie review. Two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy planet Earth. I'm sure you've heard of Don't Look Up. It was probably one of the year's most highly anticipated films. I think it's one of the better releases Netflix has had in a while. The cast is stacked. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill, Timothy Chalamet, Jennifer Lawrence, Meryl Streep. Leo and Jennifer play astronomers. Leo's like a lead astronomer, and Jennifer is the person who made a discovery that a comet is heading toward Earth. Irony about Don't Look Up is that it was filmed during the pandemic, and it's a movie about an approaching comet with a president, with a celebrity president who's controlled by donors, who has not connected with reality and who really tells her supporters, Meryl Streep plays the president, and she tells her supporters to don't look up. And that's where the title of the film comes from, which is a brilliant anecdote. And I think this film will stand up. I think I'm very critical of Netflix, but I think that this film will stand up in the American Western canon of great pieces of work, not for the goodness or the badness of the movie, but just for the fact that this movie was made during a pandemic, and it's about what it's about, you know, impending doom. I can't imagine filming a movie with this big a cast about impending doom during a time in which we were all feeling like there was impending doom around us. I'm not sure that Don't Look Up will ever be bested in its contextual creation, because it is a once in a forever kind of movie and during a once in a forever kind of time. Cheers to Adam McKay for doing it, and I hope that's why all these stars signed up to do it, because it actually, the film is pretty good. The comedy within it, the truth in it, how it relates to our everyday life. The performances in it are very good. Jonah Hill is extremely good. I haven't seen him in a movie in too long. He's very good. Meryl is Meryl. Leo, I'm not sure why Leo's getting like best male performance buzz from this role, because it was a good performance, but it wasn't all that great. Jennifer Lawrence, I think, was the star of the film, because she's just incredible in everything that she does. And the way that they build the warnings, you know, is masterful. And the way that I think that the movie could have been arced better, I think that it could have been weaved better. I'm not sure what choices had to be made, but I'm actually really pleased with the overall work. I think Jonah Hill and Jennifer Lawrence were the stars of this film. I think they were they were the best parts of it for me. They had the best dialogue bits. I love the commentary that this film has on our culture. You know, the Bosch influence in high level decision making within our government, you know, is a big issue that we have to talk about as citizens. The film does a really masterfully artful job at social political commentary in a real meaningful way, because we've kind of descended into chaos in this country because we all perceive reality subjectively now instead of objectively, before technology was in our hands. So we've made the world messier because of that. Social conversations, political dialogue is completely, it has descended into incivility because of our emotional states of being. So the film does a great job in really contextualizing certain political commentary, like the effects of a Supreme Court decision like Citizens United. Because the social political dialogues in this country, since a decision like Citizens United came down from the Supreme Court, have really been like a ping pong game, like a tennis match. Like, we just play ping pong with certain verbiage and feelings and words instead of understanding what the consequence of for corporations to have unlimited access to our government. And a film like Don't Look Up really gives you an example of what happens really behind the scenes. And of course it's exaggerated. Of course it's not like that in real life, but there are nuggets of truth in it. And that's why it has been so consequential post Citizens United in, you know, we have two parties in this country. One party since 2010 has completely been upended, and corrupt opinion media runs the entire party. Corrupt opinion media also runs a little bit of the other party too. But luckily, there are actual leaders in the other party to help the country in some way, you know. But Don't Look Up gives us an example of what happens, you know, when corporations run a particular political party, you know. And that's really the dilemma and the danger that we're all in as individual citizens today. You know, in a film like Don't Look Up, you have a political party, just like around the world, you know, telling you what to do, telling you what to believe, telling you that the comet is not coming, and to don't look up. and people, you know, and it does a brilliant job in contextualizing all this stuff and showing us it within a container of a fun movie. Meryl Streep does a great job with her subtle comedy and her subtle, I mean, she's Meryl, right? And I just think the film is a very solid film overall. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. My only criticisms of the film are the way that it's kind of weaved together. I think it could have been a little more powerful, but overall it does the job. It does what the movie was supposed to do. Maybe the film was too stacked, you know? That could be a criticism, I guess, but I think everybody did a really good job, and Adam McKay should be, you know, really celebrated for making this film during a pandemic, because I think it really does. It's a powerful piece of work, and it's definitely worth your time watching. So check out Don't Look Up. It's on Netflix. I hope you like it as much as I did, and thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at C Banksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. I'm also on Instagram, at The Chris Banks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support really helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag filmbookcast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the Film Bookcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.